Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. It's going to be the shortest prayer you ever hear. Let's pray though. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. This morning, I bring to you a word of hope. But I like to lay the foundation. Why? One of the reasons I'm sharing this word. 7 months ago, I was told that my brother passed. And when I heard the news, I felt hopeless. I felt hopeless because the last time I saw him, he wasn't saved. I felt hopeless that I would not see him in the kingdom. I was all messed up. And then I got a call from a family member. They asked me to do the eulogy. And I was struggling. I was struggling getting it all together because at the time I felt hopeless. I would not see my brother in the kingdom of God because the last time I saw him, it was at my father's funeral. And after the funeral, I did the eulogy after the funeral. My brother came up and he said, "Bro, Daddy would have been proud." And then, not knowing, over 3 years later, I would be doing his eulogy. Now, in the process, finally, I called my sister. I told her of my struggles. She said, "Dennis, have you read his postings on Facebook?" I said, "No, I'm not on Facebook." So I joined Facebook. All these years, I finally joined Facebook. My sister said, "Read his postings." And I read his postings. And after it all was said and done, my first posting, I'd like to share. My first posting on Facebook. Jesus is hope. And remembrance of, inspired by my brother. See, my brother and I had a lot in common. We looked just like my father. It was almost like my father had us all by himself. So we looked very much alike. My brother and I, we were born in the same year, in the same month, 25 days apart. Both of us joined the military together. He was a commissioned officer, and he was a non-commissioned officer, and I became a commissioned officer. My mother, with a lot of help, she raised me. My father, he raised my brother. When you have hope in Jesus Christ, no situation is hopeless, even until death. For whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. I have so much hope in the promises within God's word. I believe when my journey here on earth comes to an end, death is not the ending, but is the beginning of a glorious life in the kingdom of God. Even when things seem to be hopeless, God promises provide hope. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Speaking to his disciples, Jesus said, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. About 3 weeks ago, I was honored and blessed to give my brother eulogy. At first, I struggled with uncertainties about his relationship with Jesus. In other words, I was not sure that I would see him in the kingdom of God. After reaching out to several family members about their memories of him and preparing for the eulogy, it led me to a telephone conversation with my sister Joyce. She asked if I had read my brother's Facebook postings. The answer was no, because, like I said before, I was not a member at that time. Shortly after our conversation, I joined Facebook and assessed his postings. After reading a few of my brother's most recent postings, my uncertainties about his relationship with Jesus faded away. The first of my brother's postings read, "I'm glad that God gave me Jesus. Let me know that he had accepted Jesus as his Lord and Savior." Another of his postings, he used a few lyrics from a song by an iconic gospel group, the Williams Brothers. He posted, "I'm just a nobody trying to tell somebody that salvation is free and that Jesus is the only way to reach the kingdom of heaven. He is the beginning and he will be the end." By reading those and other postings, I realized that my brother had a special and personal relationship with Jesus, and that he was using Facebook to share the good news. My brother did not live a perfect life, nor have I. I'm still working on some things that will bring me closer, even closer to Jesus, who helped save me from myself. One of God's promises for us is, "Whosoever shall call upon his name of the Lord shall be saved." With that promise from God, I have hope that I will see my brother again in the kingdom of God. This morning, I will bring you a word of hope. The Christian Bible defines hope as being trusting in, waiting for, looking for, or desire something or someone, or to expect something beneficial in the future. My modified definition of hope is having a high expectation that what you desire would happen by or through a trusted and reliable source. God is so good. I got to share this with you too. Being a little transparent. When I was younger, it was difficult for me to be transparent. But I realized that my testimony could provide hope to someone else. I will share it. You see, I've been having this conversation with God and thinking that, you know, whenever I give a message, and being an instructor for the military for 8 years, I would memorize everything. I tell God I got to start standing at the podium and using my notes, because that somewhat photographic memory is not so photographic anymore. So what happened? I was preparing for this word for about 2 weeks. And I was comfortable. I just need to fine tune it. And I was talking to this elder that I know. I would, you know, I have questions about scripture, so I give him a call. And we were talking about it. And then last night, about 1:30, I turned to my helpmate. And I said, it was about 1:30. I said, Barbara, I want you to listen to my message tomorrow. You think that's funny? Listen to what's about to come. And my wife would tell you I'm the type of person I would prepare. I, for 2 weeks, this has been running through my mind. I may not have it on paper, but in my mind I knew what I wanted to share. About 1 o'clock, someplace, I said, I want you to listen to my message. And I was reading it to her, and my wife, with that gentle look, she started saying, well, that sort of doesn't line up. She didn't say it in that fashion, but that was the extent of it. And then I was reading some more. I said, wait a minute. I can't start a new message at 1:30 in the morning. But you know, God is something else. Because I've been saying time and time again that I need to stand at this podium. Now, because I made some major changes in my message after talking to my helpmate, that it's going to force me to stay at this podium. Something that I'm not comfortable in doing. So I'll move on. In Psalms 33:20, David said these words. We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. David did not say that his hope was in those people around him, because during David's life, his own son plotted to kill him. David did not say his hope was in his riches or his great army. David was letting us know that our hope should be in the Lord, and that Jesus is that trusted and reliable source of hope. In Psalms, 119, the 114th verse, I want to paraphrase this. David said, my Lord is my refuge. In other words, he is our hiding place. My Lord is my shield. He provides a hedge protection over us. But his word is the source of our hope. See, the word of God is letting us know that the Lord provide us hope through his word. In Psalms 130, the 5th verse, David said this. He said, I wait on the Lord. Will my entire being. And I put my hope in the Word of God. The Word of God has power. In the book of Genesis, it demonstrates the power that we have in His Word. The book of Genesis lets us know this. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form. The earth had no shape. The earth was void. Void means to like substance of empty. If we do not have the Word of God in us, we too like substance. And verse 2 says, darkness covered the face of the deep. There was no light. And God's Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. And then God brought forth light by speaking the Word. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. You see, it's power in God's Word. It's our source. And we could draw from the same source of power. And God's Word provides us hope. In the book of John. John is one of those books, it's a very interesting book because it reveals revelations even in the Old Testament. John, the first chapter, the first through the fourth verse, John wrote, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And He was with Him, the Heavenly Father, from the very beginning. And all things that was made through Him. The Word, the Son of God. In God's Word, He promises us things, expectations in our life. You could find God's Word from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations. And John, the 15th, and the seventh verse, the Word of God said, if you abide in Him and His Word, now His words abide in you, you will ask. He didn't say, shall I ask? You will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. That is a promise from God in His Word. But God promises come with conditions. And this promise also come with a condition. In other words, the Word of God is saying here, if we submit ourselves to Him and His Word reign within us, He will fulfill those desires that we have. It's a promise. You know that promissory note that you signed for that car you bought? The principles are the same. You will not get that title to that car unless you meet the agreements in that promissory note. The question is, where do you place your hope? In Psalms 130, the fifth verse, David said, I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word, I put my hope. Is your hope in your job? Well, you should have hope in your job. If you work that particular week, you should hope and expect a paycheck. I used to work for this company. If the workload was down for about 2 weeks, on a Friday we would have layoffs. And we would do, the layoffs would take place around 3 o'clock after you worked the entire day. And everybody would meet in that cafeteria. Nobody knew who would receive. We call them pink slips or layoffs. But you know, if you have hope in the Word of God, you still have hope during a layoff. In the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter and the 19th verse. And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That is a source of hope. Is your hope in your doctor and the medicine that your doctor may be treating you with? Well, you should have hope that doctor knows how to treat you properly. If you don't have hope, you need to get another doctor. Now, keep this in mind. Certain medicines, certain surgeries, they work for one person, but they may not work for another person. So your source, your primary source of hope, is in the Word of God. By His stripes, I am healed. Our source of hope is in God's Word. The question now is, how deep is your hope rooted in the Word of God? I'd like to share a parable with you before I answer that question. In Luke, the 8th chapter, the 4th verse through the 15th. And when the great multitude had gathered, and they have come to Him from every city, He spoke by a parable. a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on the rock, and as soon as it sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell amongst thorns, and as the thorns sprung up, it was choked out. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop 100-fold. When he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears, let him hear." How deep is your hope rooted in the Word of God? Will it withstand the storms in your life? Is your word rooted in sandy soil? When the first thing something happens, it just fades away. But if your hope is rooted in good soil, it will withstand the storms in your life. Now, Pastor Dave, about 8 summer service ago, he got my attention when he started talking about a scripture that mentioned deferred hope. Deferred hope. And I looked at the scripture. I thought about the scripture. I pondered on the scripture. I asked a question. I knew what something is deferred means, but I want to get a full understanding of why sometimes our hope is deferred. Now, God placed in King David's heart to build a temple. Keep in mind, God placed in David's heart that he would build a temple to store sacred things. Now, as time went on, God spoke to David. Now, this temple should have been built during David's reign. And God told David, "You will build this temple." He laid it in his heart. And then God came back to David. He said, "David, you can't build my temple. Your hands are too bloody." And the temple was deferred to Solomon. Now, stay with me. I'm going to step out just a little bit. Now, if God told David that he was going to build this temple, and God knew that David was a warrior king, David led his men to battle. And if you're a warrior king, you got to get your hands bloody. And God will send him out. Now, this is my personal revelation. I said personal revelation. Okay. Dennis Turnage, personal revelation. God was not talking about the blood that was on David's hands when he sent it to do it. God was referring to the blood that David shed when he was doing things on his own, out of the will of God. Sometimes, when we're outside of the will of God, our hope is deferral. Now, here's a scripture we love to quote. I hope I could quote it, since we all love to quote it. All things work for the good for those who love the Lord. Now, if we start right there, we'll be okay, wouldn't we? And that's where we normally stop. But the next part of that scripture is just as important as the first part. Now, all those that love the Lord, the last part of the scripture let us know that are called in accordance to His will. In other words, if we're not walking in His will, it's not going to happen. In His fullness. That is a valid, important part of that scripture. Those that are called according to His will. We must walk in the will of God. But there's still hope in God's word. Even when we're walking outside of the will of God. In Psalms, the sixth chapter. I'm sorry, in Psalms. In the 23rd Psalm. And the sixth verse. God is so good. We still have hope. When we're walking outside of the will of God. The sixth verse in Psalms the 23rd says, surely His mercy and His grace shall follow me for all the days of our life. So even when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, that's how much He loves us. He lets us know His word. That is a word and a promise from God. So don't give up. If you know you're not where you're supposed to be, and you're kind of losing hope, don't give up. Because God said, His mercy, His grace should follow us for all the days of our lives. And I thank God for His mercy, His grace, because it's been so many times that I have not walked in his will. And it's because of His mercy and grace that promise in God's word gives me hope that I still can get it right. One time I had an opportunity to minister on that. When we're walking in the will of God, we're walking in God's perfect will. I believe His mercy and grace is linked up to this. For example, sometimes we still do things that's not in the will of God. But God's still blessing. Why is He blessing it? His mercy, His grace. I want to share that I live most of my life in His permissive will, not in His perfect will. You know, if I lived in His perfect will, I'm not sure whether or not I'd be standing here today, but maybe I would be. Because certain things that happened that caused me to be here. But the message I'm trying to give to you is this. God's word gives us hope in every situation that we may face today, next week, next month, and years to come. We have hope in Him and in His Word. I thank Jesus for another opportunity. Pastor Dave, I'm finished with my message, but I'm going to take a couple more minutes if you don't mind. When Pastor Dave asked me to speak, the only thing I could say was thank you. The reason why I can only say that one thing, thank you, is I think maybe about 2 years ago, my first start coming here, I was invited to come here by Patrick and his wife. But what Patrick did not know at the time, how wounded I was. And I refer to my wounds back then as spiritual wounds. And it was almost like I was sobbing. And those wounds, Patrick had no idea. So I came here. I said, I'm a sick in the very back. Very back. Because I'm spiritually wounded. I didn't want to be up front anymore. In fact, when I was spiritually wounded, like I said, sobbing in my wounds, this pastor called me up. He asked me to speak at a program. I never have done this before, I don't think. I came up with an excuse why I couldn't speak. What that pastor didn't understand, I was sobbing in my spiritual wounds. I didn't want to do this anymore. After about over 20-some years in the ministry, serving God, working in different capacities, this is the first time I ever been hurt like this before. I didn't want to do it anymore. I had no desire. Then I came in to the Tree of Life Church. And I sat there. And the first time I heard this man of God minister word, I said, I need to sit right there and let my wounds mend. So I sat there. And I received. I started to receive so much loving. I hope I get her name right, Miss Pauline. Did I get it right, Saints? Miss Pauline. Anyway, she sits to the back. And I told the story before. I walked through that door, I would get a hug. In fact, I got a hug this morning. She gives hugs. Like my grandmother used to give hugs. She got these hugs going on that they do things for me. Like my grandmama. One time I was in college. And I was doing well in college. I was an A-B student. I was going through something. And when you go to a small school, the professors know you personally. And my grades started to drop. Fortunately, I had a high GPA. And the professor approached me one day. He says, Mr. Turnage, I don't know what's going on, but you have gone from my A-B student to something else. So I used to call my mom about it every day. And I said, don't tell anybody, Mom. And she told my grandmama. I went home. And my mom and I went to my grandmother's house. And my grandmother, she was had a lot of age on the end. She was kind of sickly. And she said, come here, baby. You're a grown man and they still call you baby. "Come here, baby." And she pulled my, I leaned down, she pulled her face to my face and gave me a hug and a kiss. And she told me, she said, "Everything is going to be okay." And once she said it, it seemed like the light came on. And I knew everything was going to be okay. Because this woman of God, my grandmama, told me, could no one get to me except for that hug. And everything going to be okay. I pull up my pants. They were about down here someplace. I had to pull them. And I went back to college. And my next 3 or 4 semesters, I made 1 C. But anyways, I appreciate your hugs. So I sat there and my wounds started to mend. There were a lot of loving and a lot of mending. And then a lot of medicine from the teaching of God's word. One day, I looked around. My wounds were healed. God restored me. And he gave me that hope that I lost. So, in conclusion, you already had one conclusion. This is the second conclusion. In conclusion, true life has been a place of healing for me. And I thank each and every one of you all for that. Because I got my spiritual groove back. Amen. God bless you and thank you.
Thank you, Dennis. Before we release you for the rest of the day, I'd like to make sure we don't miss an opportunity that we have to do some ministry time. Don and Dottie, if you wouldn't mind, we would love to pray for you while you're going through the circumstances of aging family members. Could you come on up?